Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah, Pete.
Once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from. As I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am so excited because tonight we are going to start a new study from the book of Romans. Now, this study will provide how Paul instructs the Romans without much leniency, meaning the Romans received a stern message from Paul. Very academic, I might say. Paul delineates the ways of godliness through Jesus Christ. Now, I want to remind you again that all lessons and instructions are taken from the old King James Version of the Bible, and I highly suggest, so boredom doesn't come into play, meaning that you are just listening and not taking part, that you have your Bible sources open, your devices or laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Now, another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will break for questions and answers, comments, or inquiries, if you have any. Now, before we get started, I want to once again personally take this time to thank those of you who have taken time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, I am using. Thank you. Okay. Now, as our theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? God said through Isaiah, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no one else." Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22. The promise is if you look unto God, you will be saved. God said through King David, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful." Psalms 1, verse 1. And the promise is that you will be blessed if you do not walk in the way of the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. God said through King David again, "Cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Psalms 55, verse 22. The promise, if you cast your burdens upon the Lord, you will be sustained and receive righteousness and never be moved. Now, my precious brothers and sisters, the question to you again, are you standing on the promises of God? Now, let's go to the study. We're going to start off with Romans 1, verse 16 through 17. I want you to turn your Bibles and devices or to the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16 through 17. That is the text we're going to use. This is the instruction that we're going to draw from the text. The instruction is, don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's what we want to focus on. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is taken from Romans chapter 1, verse 16 through 17. And this is what it says. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So Paul is telling us that it's the gospel of Jesus Christ that keeps us from being shamed, and it is offered to the Jew first and then to the rest of us. Verse 17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So we understand that through this gospel of Jesus, that righteousness, which is our belief and our keeping the commandments of God, that is what righteousness consists of. And then it is revealed from faith to faith. And that is from the faith that Jesus or that God determines and our faith for performing that determination. Now what we want to do, as we always do, is go to our complement to see how it is connected. And this is where we're going, to the Old Testament, to Psalms, verse 37 through, and it's going to be verse 18 and 19. We're going to go to Psalms, verse 37, verse 18 and 19. And this is what King David, under inspiration, gave to the Israelites. All right? He said in Psalms 37, verse 18 and 19, he said, the Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. So not having the receipt or the knowledge of the Messiah, David still is inspired to identify that what the righteousness of God is going to not cause us to be ashamed. But he in that time did not know Jesus Christ. Now, what we want to take from this instruction, this is the meaning spiritually for the instruction in our lives. We, my good brothers and sisters, should not be ashamed of who we are in Christ. For those who are not in Christ will be lacking in their faith. That is critical, because in the days of Israel, it was the law. In the days that we are in today, it is Jesus Christ that gives us our salvation and our understanding of what we need to do to be saved. So now, if there are any comments, like the host said, if you're in the chat room, let me know. If you just are using the internet or other devices, you can use a text, or you can do it through the email system, Facebook. Now we're going to go to the next instruction. And this instruction we're going to take again from the text, Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. That is the text that we're going to be going from. And the question is, or the instruction, man is without excuse. Now that is what we want to focus on as we read Romans chapter 1 verse 20. And this is what Romans chapter 1 verse 20 says. It says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that we are without excuse. So Paul is telling us that what God has put in the universe, the sun, the moon, the stars, all of what has been created, that tells us that there is a God, and we are without excuse for not recognizing him because of that. Now, we do know that the being man is without excuse, and I see that we're getting ready to go into a break, so I'll explain more when we come back from the break. But before the break comes into play, if you'd like to take your Old Testament book, Deuteronomy, and go to chapter 5, verse 11, that's where we're going to identify the connection, the complement, if you will, from this instruction.
So there was a listener, before we go into the break, Peter, there was a listener that had a question. What does it mean to not be ashamed of the gospel? And that will take
that
a break.
Is,
you can answer that.
After the break or right now?
Yep, after the break you can answer.
Okay, and I thank you for the question, listener, and I will answer it when we resume. Okay, so now we're in the break.
Whenever you start your day, you need to start it with God. And you need to do some things on purpose. You need to make a decision. This is the day the Lord has made. I will enjoy this day. Make an announcement to the devil, who is the joy thief. I will enjoy this day. I'm putting on my righteousness. I know who I am in Christ. I'm putting on my peace. Jesus gave me peace. I'm not going to get upset today if I don't get my way about everything. If getting things right with God, first thing when you get up, whenever your morning is, if it wasn't important, then it wouldn't say it all over the Bible. Get up early in the morning and take care of the hard tasks. Get them out of the way first. Don't let some job you have to do threaten you all day and make you dread the day. David got up early the day he killed Goliath. Come on, you're not going to kill your giants laying in bed hitting the snooze button. I think every morning we need to dedicate ourselves to God. Let's look at Psalm 25, verse 1. Unto you, O Lord, do I bring my life, plain and simple. I get that psalm out very frequently and read it. I love Psalm 25, 1. Unto you, O Lord, do I bring my life. It's a great thing to do every morning. Just sit or stand or kneel or whatever you're comfortable and just lift up your hands and say, here I am, Lord, I'm yours.
Every morning we have to go to Him and say, God, show me my assignment. Show me what to do. Show me where to go. Give me the words to speak. Asking for wisdom, for guidance, that's an act of surrender. It takes humility to say, God, you know what's best for me. I can't do this on my own. I need your help. Open the right doors, close the wrong doors, make the path clear. The scripture says, when you acknowledge God in all your ways, He will direct your path. But too often, we make our plans without consulting God. Then we ask Him to bless those plans. We wonder why it's a struggle, why it feels like it's always uphill. We have it backwards. We're making a move and then asking God for help. The right way is to ask God first. God, what do you want me to do? Should I date this person? Should I start this new project? Should I make this purchase? If you feel peace about it, then move forward. If not, hold off, knowing that God knows what's best for you. When every morning you ask God for wisdom, you are showing your dependency on Him. When you humble yourself like that, the scripture says God will exalt you. A lot of people these days, they're too prideful. Think, I don't need any help. I can do this on my own. Joel, look at how successful I am already. Think about where you could be if you'd start acknowledging God. Think about the mistakes He could have saved you from. Think about the opportunity, the favor, the doors you couldn't open, but God can open. Don't do it on your own. That will limit you.
Set your mind every morning. I'm going to be a peacemaker and a maintainer of peace. I'm going to be adaptable. If I don't get my way, then I'll just adapt and be happy anyway. And extremely important, Galatians 10, be mindful to be a blessing. Spend a little bit of time every day thinking about something you can do for somebody else and do it early. Set your mind to compliment everybody you get around. Find something nice that you can say to them. We think sometimes, oh, that's a nice outfit you got on, or boy, your hair is pretty. Well, why not open your mouth and say so? What you think doesn't bless anybody. Tell them. The more you compliment other people, the better you feel. Make your mind up to compliment the person that you're married to at least 5 times today. Do you know your marriage could be saved if you'll do that? And not only that, people will respond to the positive things you say to them, and they'll start wanting to make you happy. You can't just complain about everything you don't like. Be mindful to be a blessing. Come on, I dare you every morning to think of somebody that you can be a blessing to.
All right, back to that question, Peter. Back to our program, BIBLE.
Yes.
The question was, what does it mean to not be ashamed of the gospel?
What it means to not be ashamed of the gospel, and I think that this is an excellent question, is gospel is going to give you the wherewithal of how to live your life. Basic instructions before leaving earth is the gospel. Of course, it is enhanced in the New Testament, but it is still based on the Old Testament. So if we perform those attributes that are identified in basic instructions before leaving earth, then you will accomplish and not have a problem in anything that besets you or confronts you. I hope that that is what the listener understands. And if you don't understand, let me know and I will revive it or get back to you and give you a better explanation. But that's the bottom line. If you follow basic instructions before leaving earth, you won't be ashamed and you will accomplish the purpose, the eternal purpose that we're set out to be. Okay. Any more questions, Chris? Or we'll continue?
No, we're good. Continue on.
Okay. So now we're in the second instruction and we read the text and we know the instruction says that man is without excuse. And we want to go back to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 11. That's where we're going to connect the dot and see what God identified to Israel. In this instance, Romans chapter 1, verse 20 has identified it to all of us and not just Israel. But this is what Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 11 says. It says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." So that is no excuse, Israel. God gave you these commandments, and this particular one tells you that you are without excuse. So that's the connection. Now, of course, our instruction for today is from Romans chapter 1, verse 20, that tells us all because of what God has done. So it's expanded upon what God just told Israel specifically. And this is what the instruction means spiritually in our lives today. It means that God holds us accountable for everything that we do. No excuses. But sin has been covered by Jesus Christ. So we got to understand, though, the difference between sin being covered and the workings of sin not being covered. And we'll go through some more details later on. But we know that Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, at the end of the chapter, he says that God will hold into judgment every work that we do, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And we know when we go to the book of Revelations, the Spirit speaking to the church, well, after the Spirit spoke to the church, in the judgment scene in chapter 20 or 22, it tells us that at the judgment seat, all of our works will come into judgment, everything that we've done. So we can see from that that the works of sin we're still held accountable for. But in this instance, we are without excuse. That's the point that I was trying to make. If I got too elaborate, let me know through the chat room or through the rest of the ways that you can communicate with me, and I'll revise that explanation. Now what we want to go to is the next instruction, instruction number 3. Now there are 30 instructions in the book of Romans that I've devised. So we're at the third instruction. And what we're going to do is go back to Romans chapter 1, verse 21 through 32. Romans chapter 1, verse 21, 32. And this is lengthy, and this is the reason it is lengthy. The instruction is without God, there is godlessness. There is unrighteousness without God, in other words. And this is what Paul is telling us in detail. He's giving it to the Romans, but it's for all of us. It's Romans chapter 1, verse 21 through 32. And this is what it says. In fact, I'll begin the reading. It is Romans chapter 1, verse 21 through 32. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now, this is where unrighteousness and godliness comes into play if you're not following God's law. And I see that the break is getting ready to start, so I don't want to go into any more details until we come back after the break. But if you have Romans chapter 1, verse 21 through 32, and look intently before we come back at verse 23, and 24, and it starts telling us about how homosexuality has come into play, and it is denounced as one of the ungodly deeds that man is subjected to because of his unrighteousness. So that, and then if you would go to Judges chapter 17, verse 6, we will look at the complement of what the Old Testament says that connects this dot and makes it relevant. Now, we already know that we're using both the New Testament and the Old Testament to complement one another, because Jesus said, I have come not to destroy, but to fulfill the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. So if he is coming to fulfill, that means there is a connection that is relative that we should see. And that's how we should do in our Bible study, and we'll continue after the break.
Did you know that anxiety can come from simply having the wrong expectations? Well, if that's true, then what are the right expectations? Here's a simple answer: God's expectations. Okay, then what are God's expectations? Here's another simple answer: perfection. So how do you arrive at perfection? You can't. The good news is that Jesus Christ offered you his own perfection on the cross. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So how does that help us deal with anxiety? Once you have peace with God, you get to have peace about everything else. Why? Because of promises like the one found in Isaiah 51:12, where God says, I, even I, am he who comforts you. Who are you that you are afraid of man who dies and of the Son of Man who is made like grass? Why is peace with God so great? Because no matter what is causing your anxiety, when you have peace with God, he is your comforter. He is your solution. You need money? He's your provider. You need energy? He's your strength. You need healing? He is your healer. You're looking for direction? He is your counselor. Then how do we receive these things from God? When we have peace with God, the Holy Spirit is able to dwell in us, and He transforms our hearts. He gives us hearts that are seeking after God and His ways. And when we follow the ways of the Lord, we're going to have the perspective of the Lord as well. I want you to think about something for a second. What if the disciples started writing the accounts of Jesus being on earth before Jesus was resurrected? What if they sat down the day after Jesus' death and started writing the Gospels? It would have been a depressing story. The story would have been told from man's limited perspective. They were scared and they were disappointed. They thought that God had made a mistake, that maybe God didn't see it coming. But God had the better perspective and the bigger picture in mind, life and redemption. Some of us are trying to write the story of our lives, but we haven't gotten a hold of God's point of view yet. We're not looking at things from His perspective. We've yet to understand His plan, His sovereignty, and His power. God has a bigger picture in mind for your life. If you're dealing with anxiety that's based on your perspective, you can start to look at things from His perspective today. How do we learn to see things from the point of view of other people in our lives? It's easy. We spend time with them and we get to know them more. The same way, we learn to view life from God's perspective by spending time with God. We get it straight from Jesus. And that is why it's so critical for us as believers to spend time with Him. We have peace with God when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, but we experience the peace of God in our lives and situations when we abide in Him, walking in His presence. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful."
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, amen. As we were into the instruction, without God, there is godlessness. And we're seeing how in Romans chapter 1, verse 21 through 32, how Paul is definitely identifying it line by line, the significance of being without God. And so we're going to continue at verse 25, and this is going to identify the part of the homosexuality that I was bringing up that Paul is telling us that is unrighteous. In verse 25, it says, "Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Now, all of this that preceded was telling us what happens when you don't have God in your life. Now, here is what happens. "For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also, men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one towards another, men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meat," meaning that disease came into play because of this illicit sexuality. Now, verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind and to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with unrighteousness, one, fornication, two, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasterers, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure." Listen, my brothers and sisters, "but have pleasure in them that do the same." And that is what's happening today in our world. And this is for us right now. Paul has identified 1 through 10 or 20, how many ungodly acts that are perpetrated because God is not in our lives. Now, what we want to do is now go to the Old Testament and see where it connects and compares. We're going to go to the book of Judges, and we're going to go to Judges 17, verse 6. Judges chapter 17, verse 6. And this is what it says. It says, in those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes, and there was chaos. So that is what happens when you don't have God in your life, meaning that you're not listening or responding to what God has instructed through basic instructions before leaving earth that we should be doing. And we know that Solomon even said that the man that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, and only in his a fool in his own eyes think what he is doing is right. Now, this is what the instruction means spiritually in our lives. It means without the recognition of God, man devises what he thinks, and it always results in chaos. And you can see today where we are in a state of chaos because God is not the forefront of our application. All right, now we're going to go to the next instruction, and we're going to go back to the book of Romans. And remember, I told you at the beginning how Romans is explicit. So sometimes it is difficult to understand how Paul wrote to the Romans because he wrote to them at a high level of intelligence. He didn't give them much slack like we give it one another today. The Romans really got it plain, ABCs. This is the text that we're going to look at, Romans chapter 2, and it's going to be verse 11 through 14. We're going to be reading Romans chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. And this is the instruction that we're going to draw from. Accountability of God is for all his creation. That is the instruction we want to look at or keep in mind when we read Romans 2, chapter 2, verse 11 through 14, that the accountability of God is for all his creation. We're without excuse. Remember, we already went through that in instruction number 2. Okay, this is what Romans chapter 2, verse 11 through 14 says. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Again, we're being held accountable to God. Verse 13, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. We have to apply basic instructions before leaving earth. Verse 14 says, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. This is why we have to be careful with our relationship with others, especially outside of Christianity, because God is going to hold us into account. Everybody is held into account. And now we're going to go to the Old Testament and see how it connects relatively to what we just read. We're going to go to Ecclesiastes. We're going to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. And this is what Solomon realized, and we'll go after the break.
I felt like I was, you know, stuck. It felt like I had a shadow of heaviness and a shadow of darkness over me that never left. Felt like I was expecting something bad to happen to me no matter where I went. No matter what I did, I expected something bad to happen. It definitely started sophomore year of high school. Fear and anxiety, panic attack, depression, like you name it, I had it. I was still trying to go to school, but it, like every day it was just, I couldn't take it. I would try to, you know, get out of class as much as I can because of panic attacks. So then finally, you know, I was able to ask my mom if I could be homeschooled, and then she said yeah. So now that I'm homeschooled, I kind of like shielded myself in the house. I basically drowned myself out with video games so that I didn't have to think about my problems anymore. So I was playing video games from like sun up till whenever, and then as I'm trying to go to sleep, I can't really sleep. So I would worry myself all night for no reason, and then I would end up like throwing up. It was like I was in a, you know, imprisoned in my own head, and I couldn't get out of it because I couldn't even leave my house. You know, I couldn't even go a block away from my house without panic attacks and trying to get the driver to turn around and bring me back home. Like, I just couldn't leave. And then, so it got so bad where I just finally went back to my mom and told her I couldn't take it anymore. And then she said, you got two options. You can either give it to God and let him take care of it, or you can go to the doctors and we'll get you on medication. And I didn't want to get on medication, so I said, if I didn't have to, I might as well try the other option. That's what I did. I started to read as, you know, read the word as much as I could. And when I came to church, I started to really try to pay attention instead of just sitting there. And it was like pastor was speaking to me, you know, like all the time. It was like his word was for me. That would draw me to come back more, which, you know, led me to meet Pastor Austin. And he encouraged me to come to youth, which I did. So now coming to youth and experiencing, like, you know, seeing kids my age, the way how they're having fun and they aren't worried about anything, and how, like, I'm basically supposed to be living. So that was encouraging. And then it all started to change when I got involved as much as I can, even though I didn't want to, you know, because obviously the enemy tried to keep me away from it. I would push myself. I would push myself to get involved where I could be around the right people. And I felt good. Once you came and did it, you felt good. You felt accomplished. And so it made me even feel better. And so getting involved, volunteering at any event I could, women's conference, I've, you know, volunteered in youth as much, now Rev Night as much as I can, really helped me in that process. So back then it felt like I was had a heaviness over me that I couldn't shake. It felt like I was in darkness every day, all day, until, you know, I was able to actually come to God, give it all to Him, and it was like a light switch to where now I'm not in this dark place anymore. I'm like headed toward a light that's never ending, you know, it's always shining on you. So I just want to thank Pastor David, Pastor Nicole, Pastor Austin, and the whole Faith Church community for helping me through the time of need and being so caring and loving when I needed them to be.
Now, here's our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, back again. We're at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. And this is so significant, my brothers and sisters, because this is the accountability that Solomon determined at the end of his experience with wisdom that was worldly and wisdom that was spiritual. This is what Solomon said. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So that is the finality of the accountability of God. Whether you like it or not, Jesus covered the sin, but the working of the sin is still going to be judged. And this is what Solomon just gave us. And we know that at the end of the book of Revelations, we just went through that a few minutes ago, that was said about the judgment seat experience. Now, this is what the instruction means to us spiritually in our lives. It does not matter what you do. It will be judged by God. But of course, because of Jesus Christ, we have repentance. That is our leniency. And through that repentance, the workings of our sins that we are held accountable for are minimized, if you will, or at least addressed through the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, now let's go to the next instruction. We're going back to the book of Revelations. We're going to be reading chapter 3, Romans. Thank you. Romans, chapter 3, verse 20 through 31. That is what we're going to be looking at. Romans chapter 3, verse 20 through 31. Now, this is significant because the instruction is the law of faith is established. Now, we know the law of God is overall, and we know that the laws that God gave to Israel were determinative. Now it is expanded, and we're going to look at the law of faith, how it was established. And that's the reason why the reading is kind of lengthy. Romans chapter 3, verse 20 through 31. And this is what it says. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, that which was given to Israel, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law, it is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So we know that the law that was given on Mount Sinai was complementary. It was to begin with to cover sin until the Messiah came. Now the Messiah has come. We're without that complement. We're without excuse. Now we're going to go to verse 22. It says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all thing, all them that believed, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God had set forth to be the propitiation, the appeasement through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. So we can see the difference now in the law that God gave in with Israel to the law of faith that has been established for us. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believed in Jesus. Where is boasting then, Paul says, is it is excluded. By the law of works? Nay. But by the law of faith. That is what is being established, that now it is by faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. Remember that. Verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? That means all of us. Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. That is us. We're the uncircumcised through faith. That means we have been circumcised in the heart and not in the flesh, like Israel was commanded. 31 says, do we then void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. We are understanding through this that faith is considered a part of the overall law that was given to Israel. Remember, Abraham had to believe, and that was considered righteousness to God because he believed. Now we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1, 2, and 6, and we're going to see what the Old Testament gives as a complement to this law that I'm talking about of faith. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1, 2, and 6. And this is what it says. It says, and Moses called all Israel and said unto them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep them and do them. Remember now, the law was established for Israel exclusively, but now the law of faith has encompassed us all. But the intention of God from the beginning, when he gave Abraham his justification of righteousness, was that faith would, the belief in faith would be for all mankind. Now, this is what verse 2 says. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Hor. So that again substantiates this is for Israel exclusively. And verse 6 says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So again, that substantiates the law that Israel received that was specifically for them. But the law of faith is for all of us. And this is what the instruction means spiritually in our lives, or what it should mean spiritually in our lives, that the new provisions in the law of God, which this is a provision that was not readily identified when he was on Mount Sinai giving it to Israel, that the laws of God that faith through Jesus Christ, and that faith through Jesus Christ is essential for our salvation. So that is what means to us, the law of faith. Remember, it's impossible to please God without it. And now we'll go to the sixth instruction tonight, and we're going to go back to the book of Romans, and we're going to look at chapter 4, verse 3 through 8. Chapter 4, verse 3 through 8, and this is the instruction. The instruction is faith is one of our critical elements. Now, that is what we want to draw from what Paul is telling the Romans in chapter 4, verse 3 through 8. And this is what it reads, the text. For what saith the scripture? Abraham, remember we just mentioned Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So that is in Old Testament times. But, of course, it wasn't included in the instructions or the commandments that God gave on Mount Sinai. But he did include the law of faith from the beginning. That's how significant the connection is with the Old Testament and the New Testament. Verse 4 says, Now to him that reckon, to him that worketh the reward, not reckon of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. See, that is what comes into play for us today. Even as David also described the blessedness of a man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. Now listen to this. This includes us. And it was Old Testament writing. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. That's when Jesus Christ came into play. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Again, the Old Testament is telling us that it's by faith. And so that's what we're looking at. And now what we're going to do after the break is come back. When we come back.
He's the God of a little bit. I want to talk about this itsy bitsy mustard seed and this huge mountain. The mountain has no growth potential. The mustard seed is limitless. I want to talk to you about the mountain that's right in front of you right now. When you got a mountain in front of you, you can't see tomorrow. When you got a mountain in front of you, you think your life is not worth living. But if you have the faith as of a grain of a mustard seed, you can speak to this mountain. Move!
Back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Here's our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, so now let's go to Psalms, the book of Psalms, and we're going to go to the 19th division, and we're going to read verses 7 through 9. We're going to go to Psalms, and we're going to go to 19, and we're going to be reading verse 7 through 9. And this is what the psalmist David gave to Israel, as you might say, a coverall of what we just identified as a critical element of our faith or our walk with Christ, which is faith. And this is what Psalms 19, verse 7 through 9 says. It says, The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That's one element. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. That's another element. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Another element. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Another element. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. That's another element. And the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So you can see that there are about six or seven elements that were identified in the Old Testament as being critical to our walk with God at that time. But now, because we have been brought into this dispensation with Jesus Christ, the faith element is one of the most critical, if not the most critical. Because remember what we said moments ago, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so now what we're going to do is we're going to look at this instruction and see what it means spiritually in our lives. And this is what I'm telling you, that faith is our cover-all issue of God. Remember, it's impossible to please Him without it. And that we must take into, and that takes into account the many different facets of God. Now, what we're saying is all of what we just read, basic instructions before leaving earth in general, is all of the facets of God. But faith is the coverall. So that's what the instruction means. Now we're going to go to instruction number 7, and we're going to go back to Romans chapter 5 is where we're going to draw our understanding from the text we're going to read, and it is verse 1 through 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 5, and this is the instruction. The instruction is the justification of faith. This is what Paul tells us justifies our faith. This is what it says. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is what faith gives us, peace with God through Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of God's glory. And so, again, we get access to God through this faith that we must have. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations work as patience, patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because of the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So we can see that access through this, even the glory that we should be receiving because of our justification, also tribulations, because we know that each of us are walking in the world of sin, if you will. And because of that, we have tribulations. Jesus told us that he gave us what he did in words so that we could not have to struggle, because he said that in the world you shall have tribulations. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So that's an example that he gives us. We must have the faith to understand that. Now what we want to do is go to Job chapter 25, and what I'm going to share with you, the connection in Job chapter 25, is how Job, through his confrontation with his friends, illustrated the justification of faith. Job chapter 25, verse 4, this is where Bildad is trying to chastise Job for the condition Job is in. And this is what he said in chapter 25, verse 4. It says, how then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? So he's telling Job that you're not justified with God because of what you're going through. But Job, he gave a parable, and at the end of the parable, to answer Bildad, he gave a parable. And at the end of the parable, this is what he said, and it is Job chapter 28, verse 28. This is what Job answered, and it is related to the justification of faith. This is what Job said. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord is, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil, that is understanding. So that is the faith that we must have. We know that King Solomon says that wisdom, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And we know that we must fear the Lord as Israel was told. That is to prove ourselves. And it's the faith, the belief that we have in that gives us our justification. And this is what the instruction should mean to us spiritually in our lives. And we've already touched upon it, that without God or without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So that is our justification of faith. And so that answers or gives the instruction on that. Now, staying in accordance with the mission statement that everyone be exposed to salvation, that is what I encompass in my mission statement. My very good brothers and sisters, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, knowing that ye know them, and be established in the present work. Yes, I know and understand that you have this right, but as long as I am in this body, I am required or I am stirred up to put you in remembrance of these things. Now, that being said, here I would like to share some of the highlights of our program's description and format. Number one, the stressing of the spiritual aspect of the Bible rather than the physical, because Jesus said it best. He said, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profited nothing. Our second format point is drills and exercises associated with standing on the promises of God and Jesus Christ. From time to time, I will be inserting those in the lesson plan. Number three, using the Old Testament and the New Testament to compare with and to substantiate each other with the other. It is so critical that we understand that the Old Testament and the New Testament not only complement one another, but they are one in the Word of God. Number four, the use of Scripture to validate opinions. I try to ensure that we use this. Jesus used this against Satan. That is our example, that he used Scripture. Satan also tried to use Scripture to cause Jesus to sin when he was in the desert for 40 days. But Jesus used Scripture to validate what he did. And number five, our mission statement is that this is for everybody. So it's just not for one individual. It is for everyone. Now, what I want to do is give you a highlight now of what we're going to expect in the preceding lesson. Next time we get together, I am so excited about this because we're going to look at sin is prevalent in our lives, why that is. And we're going to examine sin. And we're going to look at the major features identifying sin in our lives. That is what Paul did with the Romans in the book of Romans. And we'll look at how sin enters into the world, causing death, and how sin should not have dominion over us, and how the workings of sin is our culprit, and how we must control the spirit that is against the flesh and the flesh that is against the spirit. Actually, it says we must follow the spirit and not the flesh. The next instruction would be the creature is delivered from the bondage of corruption. And then we're going to do predestination has its place in our lives. That's going to be exciting to look at. And then all of Israel is not Israel. And that is telling us that all of who we are associated with that say are Christians, if you will, if they are not born again, if they are not born again and have the indwelling, that they are lacking in their Christianity. And it's not that they will be lost, but it will be shown when Paul teaches us that all of Israel is not Israel. And that's going to be what we're going to take up next.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk Radio Talk Show Program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE.
Okay, so we'll see you next time, and we'll complete